Hey everyone, this is Adam Ellenboss from Nightlight Astrology, and today we are going to take a look at the deeper meaning of Mars in the sign of Scorpio. Mars, of course, is just moving into the sign of Scorpio after spending some time in Libra, and so we get this really interesting signature of Mars being in its feminine rulership. In today's video, what I'm going to do is give you a flashback and take you back to an episode that I did from a series that I made called Planets in Profile. In this episode, you're going to see me talk at length about the meaning of Mars in Scorpio. But in a broader sense, I want to expose people to this series who don't know that it exists in my archives. There's a lot of really good evergreen content in my archives that can help you deepen your understanding of planets and signs. We did Mercury, Venus, and Mars through all 12 signs in a series called Planets in Profile, which you can find the playlists for on my YouTube channel here. And hopefully that'll be of use to you. It's nice to refresh on the meaning of planets and signs as they change signs throughout the year. So sometimes I just remind people that that series is there by rerunning one of those episodes when a planet ingresses into a new sign like Mars is doing right now. So today we'll be looking at the deeper meaning of Mars and Scorpio, a little throwback episode. And it's also exciting to remind people of this as we are in the production of the new series, Planets in Profile, taking the moon through all 12 signs. So I think it'll be next week that we will have an episode on the moon in Taurus. It'll be the next week or two that the second episode of Planets in Profile for the moon through the 12 signs will resume, and we will introduce you to the deeper meaning of the moon in Taurus. We already did the moon in Aries, so you could check that series out as well. Anyway, that's what we're doing today. Before we get into it, don't forget to like and subscribe and share your comments and reflections, especially if you are someone with the Mars in Scorpio in your birth chart. We'd love to hear from you. You can find a transcript of today's talk on the website, nightlightastrology.com. And while you are over there, don't forget that we are enrolling, right? We are in enrollment season right now for my first-year program. The first-year course is called Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic. It is a one-year immersion in ancient Hellenistic astrology with an emphasis on modern archetypal astrology and depth psychology as well. But we sort of fuse the two together. We're looking very deeply at the roots of astrology. Why do we do everything that we do? What is a house? And why do we use a house at all? Once you have an understanding of the philosophical and mystical roots of the tradition, you have a skeleton key with which to become much more artful and intuitive as an astrologer. And that's sort of the way that the program has been structured with that idea in mind. There are 30 classes on the year. They're all held via live webinar, but everything is recorded. So if you cannot make it live, you can always attend remotely at your own pace. We have breakout study sessions led by tutors if you need extra help or if you want to ask a question. We always have room in class for live questions too. We usually do a pretty interactive Q&A at the end of every class. And then we have breakout study sessions with our staff, and we have an interactive group forum discussion that's also hosted by staff who always respond within a day. There is plenty of bonus reading and videos and quizzes, and we have a study book and so many things to help you go as deeply as you want to. If your intention is to practice for other people, we recommend the first and second year program, but a lot of people are ready to start reading charts at least in a basic way to start reading charts after the first year program. A lot of people take this just because this is your hobby. And I like to equate it to, I am taking guitar lessons right now, not because I plan on being a professional, but because I love it. And it enriches my life. And this is something that will enrich your life spiritually speaking as well. Most people find that when they study astrology in a program like this, it catalyzes a lot of transformation and healing in your everyday life. And there's a magic in that. There's a magic in studying a spiritual topic in depth and watching that topic permeate your life and create really positive change. Anyway, at the bottom of the page, you'll find different enrollment options. There's an early bird payment, saves you $500 off. There is a payment plan you can spread out over a year. And then there's need-based tuition. And we still have room available for people who would like to take the program but need a little extra help financially. We understand that everyone is in a very different position, and we don't think that there should just be one price point for something like taking a sacred, you know, astrology program. We believe that the subject is sacred, and that if you want to take the program, you should be able to. Energetic exchange is important. That you value what you're getting and pay something is important. But we believe that, you know, some people are going to go, oh, I can afford the program as it is. It's an investment that's reflective of my budget. Other people are going to say, I really want to take the class, but I need something that's going to work within my budget, so I'm not living outside of my means. And that's why we have the tuition assistance. We don't ask that there's not just one life circumstance that we approve those for. It's really literally just tell us your situation. And if you legitimately need the help, then, you know, we'll be glad to help you out. So anyway, if you have any questions, email us info@nightlightastrology.com. And hopefully we will be seeing you soon in classes starting on November 18th. Okay, well, that being said, today we're looking at the deeper meaning of Mars in the sign of Scorpio, and I hope you will enjoy this throwback episode and check out the rest of the Planets in Profile episodes that we have on Mercury, Venus, and Mars. And don't forget that we'll have a Moon in Taurus episode coming out soon. So with that, I hope you will enjoy this.
Hi, everybody. This is Achyuta Bhava from Nightlight Astrology, and I'm sitting down to make another episode of Planets in Profile. I've been tracking Venus and Mars through all of the signs. I concluded Venus through all of the signs a couple of months ago. And I'm still finishing up on Mars through the signs. And Mars is currently in the sign of Scorpio. So today's episode of Planets in Profile is focused on Mars's placement in the sign of Scorpio and how you can understand this placement if you have it in your own natal chart or how you can sort of work with it in a general way. All right, so put a little presentation up here on the screen. And let me just snap this into full screen mode. Here we go. So Mars in the sign of Scorpio. Now, remember that in ancient astrology, every planet has two domiciles, a masculine domicile and a feminine domicile. Or if you feel more inclined, you could say that each planet has a yin domicile and a yang domicile. So this is the feminine domicile of Mars. The masculine domicile of Mars is Aries. So what can we look for with this particular Mars placement? Well, that's an image of Greta Thunberg, which we'll be coming back to a little bit later. She's Mars in Scorpio. We have to start by remembering something very basic about the way that planets were read in ancient astrology. Planets, when they are in their own home signs, are most able to affect their own significations. So every planet has natural activities and themes and topics that come along with it. For example, telemarketer, let me turn off my phone. So for example, Mars is the planet of war. So the god of war, violence, conflict. Mars is related to cutting. Mars is related to severing. Mars is related to penetration and will, inception or starting things. Mars is also a planet of valor and courage. Now, whenever Mars is in any of its, either of its own signs or even any of its own terms, which are little miniature sections within each sign that belong, the degree markers of which are sometimes they're different in every sign, but if there are a certain number of degrees within every sign will actually be ruled by Mars. Those degrees are also thought to be a place where Mars can be very effective and more like Mars, more like itself. So whenever planet is in its own triplicity, its own bound, its own decan, its own exaltation or its own domicile, all different technical terms for saying the planet will behave and act like its best self or be very strong. And so behave as its best self for a planet will typically mean that the planet will embody what you and I and everyone else would probably consensus reality would agree upon as the more valiant or virtuous qualities of the planet. And for Mars, that's going to be things like courage, valor, bravery, fight, will, and action, all in service of things that we consider noble or virtuous. So you get kind of like a knightly quality out of Mars or someone who's quite successful at martial things. On the other hand, Mars in its own sign, in its own exaltation, bound, triplicity, etc., can also indicate that Mars is just really, really ripped, so to speak, like muscle man. And a strong Mars is not necessarily a good Mars. So you have two basic ways of looking at planets when they're in their own dignities. A planet in its own dignity is strong, or a planet in its own dignity is of a high character. one of the two typically will be on display in the life of the individual, sometimes both. But strong, remember, does not necessarily, a strong planet does not necessarily mean that that translates into someone being subjectively good, or that it is without its troubles. Okay, so at any rate, when Mars is traveling through any other sign in the zodiac, it and any other bound or face or triplicity, etc., it has to filter its needs and wishes through the planet whose temple it is traveling through. So if you have Mars in Sagittarius, it's like Mars is a house guest of Jupiter. And so Jupiter will always be taking care of the needs of Mars or giving things to Mars. That could mean a Mars that is strong and courageous and receives benefits or blessings or honors or awards, Jupiter things. Could be a Mars that is very philosophical, religious, or academic, because it's a Mars in Jupiter sign, and Jupiter confers upon Mars, in addition to strength, things like academics, religion, and so forth. So if Mars is not in its own home sign, Mars will always be receiving something from its host. Now, in ancient astrology, this is why it was considered a very good thing when a planet was in one of its own dignities, if not multiple of its own dignities. Because what that means is that the planet is unfiltered it's not being mediated by any other planet. So that, again, means that you get, it's like, I can just do what I want to do, and what's in my own nature to do is Mars-like stuff. I don't have to cross-combine, blend, or rely upon the health or weakness of my host. Because the other thing that can happen is if a planet's in a sign and that sign ruler's in a weak position in the chart, it can't get a lot from that ruler, and that affects its significations. So these things are very important technical things. You always have to look at these things. The nice thing about Scorpio is, again, that Mars is at home. This is its feminine domicile. So you get a Mars that can sort of do Marsy stuff a little bit more easily. Scorpio is the cool, moist, feminine water sign of Mars. So Mars is actually a part of the nocturnal and or quote unquote feminine sect of planets in ancient astrology. And it's unclear if this, why exactly this is, but Mars has this interesting, although Mars is a superior planet and is often considered, you know, masculine, Mars makes an unusual amount of has an unusually high amount of phasal dynamics in terms of its synodic cycle with the sun. For this reason, one of my teachers, Robert Schmidt, speculated that it was likely that because, and I think this comes from Porphyry maybe as well, but it is likely that because Mars demonstrates more variability, and variability is a trait of the feminine planets, Venus, the moon, and then Mars is added to this nocturnal sect of planets, which are defined by Porphyry in terms of making more phasal appearances and having more phasal dynamics. And that the greater the variety of visible things that the planet does in its synodic cycle with the sun, the more variance and change and flux, the more it was associated with the yin or the feminine, all of which is associated with the moon and the realm of fortune or changeability in general. And so Mars is this interesting planet because Mars, although quote unquote masculine, has this intensely changeable aspect to it in terms of its ongoing synodic cycle dynamics. So Mars is actually very, very comfortable and does really well in the feminine sign of Mars, in Scorpio, excuse me. So the way that you can read this is by saying that you have a Mars that may be more prone, more changeable, more combustible. Mars in Aries is steadier, more solid, even though it's a tropical sign and this is a solid sign. I know that seems kind of contradictory, but fiery Mars it can start things, it's action oriented, but it's not nearly as changeable and fluid as this Mars is, because of the feminine quality, because of the receptivity, and because we're amplifying that sense of Mars as a very changeable planet in the visible sky when we're reading it through its feminine sign. So Mars is going to express itself in Scorpio in a way that's natural to its own nature, sounds silly, but it, what we're saying there is just that it's not going to have to negotiate with another planet by virtue of being in its own sign. It can be itself, and it has greater ease and strength in doing so. It can embody its more virtuous qualities or may demonstrate martial strength with less compromised results overall. So this is, again, a real benefit for Mars being in its own sign. But again, it's going to be a more feminine Mars. It helps to remember that this is the fixed yin autumnal sign that has to do with the fixed space of descent. So when the sun is coming down in the northern hemisphere, which is where this archetypal language is rooted, you could say, it's all symbolic language. So it's not as though, you know, you can get these qualities with any planet in the sign at any time of year. But this space in the zodiac represents the steady decline of light. Light is a metaphor, you know, et cetera. So because of that, you have this sense of destructiveness, impermanence, but also you have when things are destructing and falling apart, there is a way in which things are dispersed. And so you also, interesting thing that you have about this sign is you have a kind of fixity and dispersiveness and Mars-like like aggressiveness all combined in one. And interestingly, that can really manifest in two different ways. Straight up tendency towards being more destructive and combative in a way that is sort of, you know, darker and just heavier and very autumnal. And so you have just kind of the dark Mars. But also in terms of this need to fortify, protect, or defend against things that are perceived as threats, things that are perceived as potentially destructive, destabilizing elements, which is kind of, it's like a weird paradox about Scorpio, that you have this really defensive, protective energy, as well as one that tends to be more intensely destructive and almost revels in decomposition and chaos. So you can have both. And of course, this Mars is also like a dark lord. It has that feeling of being like it has a kind of kingly or queenly lord of the underworld feeling to it. Mars is kind of like a king in Scorpio. Anyway, so these are some things to think about. May, as usual, this Mars may struggle with typical Mars-related themes, though with a particularly feminine or yin twist. So for example, paranoia, defensiveness, jealousy, betrayal, tendency to be overly protective. Those are all Scorpio qualities, which if you go back into my videos and look at the sun, meaning of the sun in Scorpio, it's a really good video on Scorpio, but so I won't go into that so much. But one of the reasons for all of those, that all of those qualities are basically coming from a deeper analysis of the archetypal solar changes happening at this time of year. So sometimes there's a darker, more destructive, like you think of some of the goddesses of destruction in mythology, and you're getting into the Mars and Scorpio territory a bit. Anyway, let's talk about some people, famous people who have Mars and Scorpio, so you can see and relate to, and we can kind of try to illuminate some of the qualities of Mars and Scorpio. So if you think about Kurt Cobain, he's a grunge rocker in the, you know, the 1990s with Nirvana. But he, you know, one of the things that really made him famous was that he was someone who had a very low tolerance for inauthenticity and fakeness, just quintessential Mars and Scorpio, and also was very aggressive and very destructive, right? So if you ever watch the movie Montage of Heck, which is a good documentary about Kurt Cobain, you can get a feeling for that Mars. It's destructive, but it revels in, he was romantic in the sense that he sort of reveled in the darkness and the yang quality mixed with the feminine sensitivity made him this kind of electrifying, romantic, but very aggressive rocker. So it's a good example of a feminine Mars in Kurt Cobain, in my opinion. Mahatma Gandhi, again, you have someone who is essentially an advocate for peace, but is also this kind of activist, very common. You'll see the same thing, for example, with Oprah Winfrey. Oprah Winfrey is kind of like this, she's a queen, and she represents she's really one of, in my opinion anyway, she's really one of the leaders for Black women in the past, probably several, at least the past 3-4 decades. She's one of the leading figures that says you can be a Black woman and be powerful and strong in the world. That's a Mars in Scorpio for sure. And she's also like, kind of like a, she's like a super businesswoman, right? So just being that strong, authoritative, executive woman too, Oprah's got that going on for her. Bruce Lee, again, like here's an incredibly fluid martial artist who has this really kind of earthy and sensual, sensitive side to him. It's very common. You see Steven Seagal later on my list. He's like a 3rd, 4th, 5th degree black belt in Aikido. Sometimes, and of course, but there's dark elements of their stories, like Kurt Cobain dies of, he's a suicide, but Gandhi's assassinated, if I remember correctly. Is that right? That's right, isn't it? Bruce Lee dies accidentally on set, if I remember correctly. There's a lot of, sometimes there's really a sort of like tragic Mars-like events that surround people with strong Mars in Scorpios, or any strong Mars in general, but that can happen too. There's Mark Zuckerberg, who is famous for Facebook, but it came through this like massive fight and battle with someone else. I think it was wherever he was at school, Harvard, or where was it? You guys remind me of where it was. I saw the movie Once Upon a Time about Facebook, but it was basically a fight that he had that led him to this. And now people are often accusing him of being, there's a lot of stuff that, Mark Zuckerberg has done with the Facebook platform that has made him sort of, infamous and villainized in many respects. So he's this really strong kind of entrepreneur who starts his career through this intense fight. And it's kind of cloak and dagger, like it's questionable as whether he stole something or not, or it's all this backstory like that. Very common for Mars and Scorpio. It's a complicated Mars themes. Jimi Hendrix, similarly, like really aggressive, electric figure, a lot like Kurt Cobain. Joaquin Phoenix, another guy who's like a dark, intense, passionate. He plays the Joker in the recent Joker film that was just about the Joker. So this ability to portray darkness theatrically and to somehow capture its romantic essence, which is the sensitive, the feminine sensitivity of Mars in Scorpio. Marilyn Manson is similar in that regard. And then you have people on the other side like Mel Gibson, who just play like these classic sort of like braveheart warrior archetypes. And Mel Gibson's career has been like really bloody. Like if you ever watch The Passion of the Christ, like, it's just bloody. And he's also been embroiled in a lot of really aggressive and sort of, he's sort of a villain as well. He's definitely not well liked by a lot of people, and often because of a kind of an abusive streak that he has in him. So there you have the like exacerbated Mars energy. Joseph Stalin, obviously, I don't need to say anything more about that. It's an intense martial figure, obviously, a lot of blood around that name. Steven Seagal, we already mentioned. Okay, so there's Bill Cosby and Harvey Weinstein. I hate to throw these names in because it's kind of hard to even talk about them, but these are guys who are known for some really shady, subtle, secretive, manipulative sexual behaviors. Jean-Paul Sartre, who is a famous existentialist philosopher, really dark and aggressive in his view of the world, but also gets to something essential about destruction and darkness, and is very eloquent in the way that he writes. J.R.R. Tolkien is also a master of the martial heroic story in The Lord of the Rings, and he has this vision of the Dark Lord of Mordor that is really in this ring of power. These are deep, like yin themes. So the ring has to be cast into the middle of a volcano, and there's a finger sliced off in the process, and there's lots of blood and guts in The Lord of the Rings. Mao Zedong, another name associated, the revolution in China, a lot of death behind that name as well. Martin Scorsese, here's a guy whose career is steeped in the mafioso and, you know, the kind of crime lord and drugs, and his movies are violent and hard hitting, and it's a lot about darkness and power in darkness. Howard Stern, very controversial, direct, aggressive, and kind of dark sense of humor. It's very sexual. Joe Rogan, similar kind of radio personality, who's a martial or a UFC, former UFC fighter or something like that, but he hosts like UFC fights, and he's also, he's really controversial. He likes to push buttons, and there's this kind of punk feeling sometimes behind, you know, Mars and Scorpio, or activist, or fighting for something that's sort of controversial or taboo. Greta Thunberg, of course, is similar. And you know, people, I mean, look at her eyes, right? So intense. And what a fighter and activist. And, you know, people are really hard on her too, and believe that she's been sort of co-opted by some, you know, this bigger narrative, and she's being used and so forth. And whether or not that's true, just notice that her life is steeped in martial controversy. She's a fighter. The president, you know, slams her on Twitter, whatever. So very Mars and Scorpio, young woman who's, you know, really kind of a Joan of Arc type of figure in some ways. Ayn Rand, kind of a dark writer, philosopher associated in some ways with some really kind of authoritarian existentialist themes. Power is a big deal in her writing. George R.R. Martin, another Tolkien-like figure who is a master of the martial. He writes, you know, his books are crude and violent, but also really moving, and they really strike at things that are deep and true about human nature in the fantasy genre. Hildegard of Bingen, of course, who's a multifaceted, multi-talented nun, and she is a visionary composer, you know, just a famous figure in the Catholic tradition. And finally, Eleanor Roosevelt, who of course is sort of like the war, she's like the right hand, you know, Mars is sometimes called the right hand of the sun, and she is definitely someone who is one of the remarkable first ladies of United States presidential history, and just in terms of the amount of moxie and fight that she had in her and stuff like that. So anyway, my take on these individuals is by no means authoritative. I am a spectator, you know, historically speaking. I'm not any kind of expert, but I see each of these characters. I pick these because they all demonstrate some kind of really powerful martial signature, and sometimes really complicated by, you know, darkness. Obviously, whether you want to analyze like Eleanor Roosevelt and the New Deal, or if you want to talk about the topics of Howard Stern, or, you know, the stage sets of Marilyn Manson, or the controversies of Mark Zuckerberg, these are people who are very strong, but there's oftentimes a real complicated quality. They're protectors, and sometimes they're secret destroyers. They're really good at martial things, but they're also very familiar with very deep, dark, disturbing elements of human nature. So it's an interesting mix to look at. That's what I've got for today. When you check it out in your own birth chart, of course, knowing that you have this in your own birth chart, maybe you can relate. If so, tell me your stories in the comments section. I'd love to hear them. I'd love to hear how you deal with being a Mars and Scorpio kind of person, how you deal with it. If someone close to you has it, you know, what are they like? Share some stories. And otherwise, remember that the house topics and aspects in the chart make a big difference as well. So it's never just Mars in Scorpio in a vacuum. It's Mars in Scorpio. It's telling a story. It's part of a whole chart. All right. That's what I've got. Thanks for listening, everyone. Take care.